for more on Nelson Castro. WNYC's Anna Sale has been looking into how unusual it is to have a lawmaker wearing a wire in a state capitol. She joins us now. Anna, you talked to legal experts and watchdog groups today to try to put these revelations into context. What did you hear?
Well, first, it's not unusual to have people wearing wiretaps in public corruption investigations. Most often, it starts with a lobbyist or a businessman working with investigators who are trying to bring down a bigger fish, an elected official. There was a case in Alabama just a few years ago where a state senator wore a wire in a bribery investigation around a gambling vote, but the difference there was that state senator was acting as a whistleblower. Here in New York, in Assemblyman Castro's case, he started cooperating with the Bronx DA's office after he was indicted for perjury. Then he ran for re-election twice without the voters knowing about that indictment. So that's what makes this case unusual and more ethically dicey. I spoke with Melanie Sloan, the executive director of CRU, Citizen for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. That's a watchdog group that monitors public corruption.
If a public official is guilty of criminal charges, criminal actions, then it seems like his constituents ought to know that so they can decide if he's the appropriate person to be representing their interests.
And again, while he was working for the government, Castro was reelected in the Bronx in both 2010 and 2012, working as an informant.
So he begins to cooperate with prosecutors following his indictment in 2009 for lying about voter registration fraud. Walk us through his involvement with the Stevenson bribery sting.
Yes. So over a year ago, in January 2012, Assemblyman Castro starts also working as an informant with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Within a month, they set up a bribery sting where he accepts $12,000 from a go-between who federal officials then flip to create another cooperating witness. Then that cooperating witness approaches Assemblyman Stevenson and offers money to help set up this adult daycare center. Stevenson initially says he'll help, but he doesn't need money. He'll just do it for the community. Then the federal complaint outlines Assembly Stevenson and Assemblyman Castro, who's working as an informant, have some conversation about this adult daycare center, but it's not recorded. And a few months later, prosecutors say Assemblyman Stevenson is accepting an envelope full of cash outside a Bronx steakhouse. So you could look at Castro's bad behavior, since he was the first one to accept a big wad of money, and say, was he, you know, encouraging Assemblyman Stevenson's bad behavior? But Dan Richmond, Columbia Law professor, who's a former federal prosecutor in New York's Southern District, describes this as par for the course. What you're trying to do when you're doing these conspiracy investigations is you catch one person doing something bad, you flip them, you try to keep flipping to keep building your case.
If you want to expose corruption on the part of officials who have not yet been charged, the only way to get them and to get the information to the voters is to conduct these investigations.
So again, what he's saying there is if you want to catch corrupt elected officials, the way to really get at them is to get another elected official cooperating with you.
But couldn't Stevenson's defense argue that this was entrapment?
Well, legal experts say that's a risky strategy because to start, to say you were entrapped, you have to say, I admit it, I did the bad thing, but I was forced to do the bad thing. It also opens up the possibility for the prosecution to dig into the defendant's history and argue that, no, you were predisposed to act illegally because you did this and this and this in your past. But this also gets at the question of time, which is key because of this 3.5-year period where Assemblyman Castro was working as an informant. Investigators are building their case and they're watching for all of these flags because they don't want to be alleged that they were entrapping anyone. And as a result, you have this period where you have an elected official acting as an enforcer, as an informant. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara was asked about that yesterday, about whether it was appropriate to keep this guy in Albany while he was working as an informant, while he was under this sealed indictment. And he said, look, when you're rooting out corruption, sometimes it takes a while to get the facts to bring the charges. I talked to Reed Schar about this today. He's a defense attorney in Chicago. He also was the lead prosecutor against former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. He said it's unusual to have an elected informant for a period of 3.5 years because there is that tension between gathering evidence and protecting democracy.
The counterbalance being an individual who you know yourself is corrupt and is supposed to be representing the best interests of the people and having to keep an eye on their ability to do that and do it honestly while at the same time engaging in proactive corruption and being themselves corrupt.
Of course, now Assemblyman Castro is going to keep cooperating with investigators, but he will no longer be in Albany. His resignation is effective Monday.
Anna Sale, thank you so much.
Thank you.